All right. Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. Hope you're ready for this adventure. Let's get started. I'm Nelson Vides. I'm a senior engineer at the NSimple, and I work on DNS infrastructure. Haha, that's the room. And also, I'm an Erlang and Elixir evangelist. I have been doing this too for most of my career. I also did some CE and stuff. Never mind. If you are wondering why the funny outfit, this is the NSimple's Christmas sweater. But really, if you're wondering the funny outfit, 3 weeks ago, I just broke my collarbone snowboarding. And for that, I recommend everyone really to have a split keyboard. It's very helpful if you want to continue working. Anyway, let's get started. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about a name server built on EarlDNS, open source, of course. First commit from 2012, and it has been in production for around 11 years. We host the authoritative name servers, the authoritative records for like a lot of cool guys. For example, the Linux Foundation, happy of that one. Of course, stability is important. I'm going to talk about a problem when we went from zero means downtime, to no matter what, we don't have downtime. I'm just using classical algorithms. First, DNS basics, I'm sure 99% of the people more or less know here. What is it? You know, let's get the A record of fosdem.org so I can connect to the website. I ask to the name servers, to the root servers, hey, do you know? No, I don't know, but I know the server that has .com. Ask him, okay. So I ask the one that has .com. No, I don't know it, but I want the one that has fosdem.org, sorry. So okay, so I ask the other server, and the other server finally gives me the address. What do you see in this thing? A lot of network traffic. And distributed. What is the problem space? DNS under attack. It's a prime target. A quarter of DDoS traffic worldwide goes to DNS infrastructure. Another quarter goes to TCP SYN flood attacks. And those two is half. Why so much goes to DNS? If you shut down DNS, you effectually shut down everyone else because you cannot find it. So it also has a terrible amplification factor. The query for fosdem.org a record is around 40 bytes, plus minus. And the answer is already around 80. And that's only for one A record. Like if you put DNSSEC and you have like four IP addresses, and then you ask for TXT records and the HTTPS records, you get megabytes of answers for just a 40 byte request. So it sucks. And another problem is UDP, no connection handshake, so it's very easy to spoof. This is preventable, but it's expensive on routers, so middleware don't want to do it, unfortunately. Expensive performance-wise, and also critical infrastructure. If DNS goes down, everyone else is unreachable, so it's effectually down. Three core challenges: congestion, overload, and thundering herd. Thundering herd is probably one you wouldn't expect. I discovered it in a benchmark. Congestion, so queues are full. Overload, there is just way too many for the available resources. Thundering herd, you try to take decisions that synchronize, and that's not good. If you want to leave this talk with one takeaway, it is this one. Do not ever expose an unbounded resource to the outside world. Otherwise, you're going to get DDoS, and it's incredibly easy. There is no such thing as an unbounded resource. Memory, you can have a lot, but it's finite. Network, you can have a lot, but it's also finite. Everything is finite. A bit of theoretical foundation so that you understand what is it that we are going to optimize. I studied mathematics, by the way, not computer sciences. A lot of knowledge transfer, but I have some hobbies. Little's law. We want to get an idea of how long are we going to wait in a queue. Imagine you go to a shop and you're going to buy some, how do you say, cheese. And you see 10 people on the queue and each one of them gets served every 2 minutes. You can guess that you're going to get out after 10 people for 2 minutes, or in 20 minutes you will get served. So arrival rate or serving rate is static at deployment time. It's your implementation divided by your hardware. The moment you deploy, this is decided. So if you want low latency, you need short queues. If you let the queue grow, so the W and lambda is static, L will just go wherever it wants to go. And another formula, the complicated C's with squares and so on, that is basically something that you cannot control. This is jitter and the variability of utilization. You don't know how your clients are going to make requests. Tau is, again, your implementation divided by your hardware. This is what you can do in a given amount of time. So what is raw? That's the important one. It's utilization. This basically means that the fuller it is, the queue, not only it takes longer to serve the last one, it takes longer exponentially, not linearly. Polynomially, sorry, not exponentially. This means that if utilization is around half, the waiting time equals service time. But if utilization is 0.9, let's say CPU utilization, waiting time is 9 times. And if utilization goes to 95%, then waiting time is 19x. So you want to optimize for not for higher nominal CPU usage, but for lower queue latency. In DNS, it has very tight timeouts. If you don't give a request after so long, then people will retry, it's too late. So you get the idea of the problem with the queue and latency. So let's now solve these problems. Congestion. Typical case, you have a queue, packets arriving over the network, and the queue has a size. You can configure it in your kernel. The kernel has queues, your program has queues. Let's say that the size is 4, just so it fits on the slide, because, you know. And a new one arrives. There is a packet that has been waiting for... yes, this moves, but it has a delay. There is a packet that has been waiting for 4 milliseconds, another one for 6, for 8, and then a new packet arrives. Where do you put it? It's full. You are going to drop it. Why are you dropping the new one that is absolutely fresh and not that last one that has been waiting for a while? Maybe it's just about to time out. This is the classic, the universal default tail drop. If it doesn't fit, just throw it away. But then keep in mind, you're throwing the freshest. Or even more complicated, or more annoying. Imagine that, I'm going to remove the mouse. Imagine that you just finished resolving a packet that got stuck for a bit, so now the whole queue is delayed a little bit. And then some packet arrives that has 1 millisecond, and a new one arrives. Where do you put it? You're going to drop it, but you have a bunch of packets here. Maybe one of them is a better candidate. So by the time we drop the fresh one, there's some other packets that probably were better candidates. The problem is buffer float, and this is not a new problem. There used to be entire working groups on the Linux kernel and on networking internet groups. Large buffers means less packet loss until they get full. And then it means high latency. Back in when the internet was not so fast, we used to think that the big buffers makes the internet faster, but in reality, it's just adding latency. And now that we have this 10G, 100G, this incredibly large throughput, big buffers means minutes of latency. So that's not how we do things anymore. One solution is Codel. It's fantastic, default in the Linux kernel since quite a while. Very good for most mixed traffic. There is some special algorithms if you only have TCP, but otherwise, if you have every possible thing, Codel is very nice. What is Codel doing? This is an example. I'm doing Erlang, as I said, but should be self-readable anyway. Imagine a new packet arrives, and I have the socket, and the time of arrival, and then the bin is the binary. This is the stuff that I need to decode and compute and so on. And before I compute it, the naive algorithms that I'm guilty myself of doing, it works, but it's very inefficient, is let's imagine that my timeout is 1 second. If this is already has been in the queue when I pick it up, it has been for more than 1 second, then drop it. But what if it has been for 999 milliseconds? By the time I finish computations, it already passed the timeout. So do I drop it at 80% of the time, at 50% of the timeout? How do I calculate this? So this is something that Codel does, getting the current time and the time of arrival. It calculates a difference, and it self-heals. How? Codel, you can see it as a state machine, gets packages and checks if the sojourn time, that is the time it has been waiting, is below a target. Target is usually between 5 to 10% of your configured timeout. So if we say 1 second, target is going to be from 50 to 100 milliseconds configurable. In my case, I configure 100, so 10%. Linux kernel by default configures 5, a parameter. 5 is usually very fine until you have a specific benchmark that tells you otherwise. Next packet arrives below sojourn, whatever, next one, next one, next one. The moment you have the first packet above sojourn time, it's 10%. It's not expired. It's fine. You don't drop it yet. But now you start tracking. You go to first above. And if the next one is also above sojourn time, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, until the entire interval, that is your configured timeout, then Codel says this queue got stuck. This is not one quick spike that you just burn very fast. The queue got stuck. So now you need to drop one packet. Consider that you still probably have packages around 51 milliseconds. So potentially you're dropping very early this one. But effectively you have a queue that got stuck. Probably at the end of the queue you're going to have very late packages. Then you drop that one. And when do you drop the next one? Going to work on a control law. So don't drop on the first spike, wait for the congestion. And now, how do you decide when do you drop the next? It's not every time you see the above sojourn. Remember, sojourn is very short. It's if sojourn continues being above target, not in the next interval because that is too slow, not dividing by count because it's way too aggressive, it grows way too fast, but a square root of the number of packages that you have dropped so far. And this grows relatively slow at the beginning because maybe it's just a spike, but eventually it's going to get very aggressive. And with that, you control the problem of a congested queue. Second problem, overload. Too many requests, limited resources. So I say nothing is infinite. A solution, Cubic. That's another default for TCP since God knows how long. I don't remember, 15, 20 years. I have here. 2006, yes. The idea is that TCP controls the congestion window. So it keeps tracks of when the last packet was dropped, and then it self-heal, like calculating how much packets can it really send that the receiver is going to receive. It controls acceptance rates. Like what we want to control is acceptance rate. How many requests are we going to accept in DNS? But we can use the same math. Find the capacity that tells you when we hit congestion or when we escape the window. In TCP is the case when we hit too much utilization. So then we know that the queue is going to get a lot of latency. Back off using a cubic formula and recover very fast because it's a cubic formula. It's not a square root. It's a cubic. It's aggressive at the beginning. So it comes back to the moment it detected the last failure very fast. And at that point where the last failure was, then it's very slow. Why cubic? Fast recovery, stable plateau, and then careful growing. We are going to use cubic to tell us the rate, and with the rate we are going to decide how long to sleep, how long to wait until we take the next packet from the network. In the meantime, the CPU is busy calculating the responses to all the ones that already arrived. The state machine for cubic is something like this. CPU has a lot of utilization. Then if it says no, it just continue growing, let more packages arrive until basically delay zero. That means use all your power to take everything from the network. Until you see that the CPU is too congested, then say congestion, and cubic says rate multiplied by 0x, that is 20% slowdown. The default in the Linux kernel is 30% slowdown. In my benchmarks, 20% was better. And then this is our new current rate. And we are going to grow on that rate. We use some limitations, so this doesn't escape. You can read the detail later. The moment we hit a congestion, we say that this point, the middle of the graph, that is where we are going to place the congestion moment. And we automatically drop 20% behind here. And we are going to very quickly grow until we hit the congestion moment, the moment where it was congested last time. If nothing happened there, we are going to continue growing very slowly. If nothing happened, if we just have more capacity, like queries are simpler this time, they take less resources, then we're going to start growing super fast until we hit a new congestion point, move the graph, move around the ground again. Why it works? It finds capacity automatically. It's responsive. That's the maximum rate, so it doesn't grow indefinitely. Because at some point, infinite rate means sleep zero. And 20% of infinite also means sleep zero. So it's never going to tell me to delay. I need to put a maximum on the rate. The last challenge is Thundering Herd. Now, these two algorithms, they are happening on a bunch of threads. There's a thread that takes packages from the queue, passes to another one to resolve. And like that, there is many threads. I'm doing Erlang, so these are processes, and I can have millions of them. There are literally 233 machine words, so around 1 kilobyte. Really, a million of them is 1 giga of RAM, so I can have a lot. It allows me to architect this thing. I can use one text packages from the queue, passes from the network, passes to the other to the resolution, and then they synchronize if they, you know, back pressure. The problem is, when I was running this load test in a multi-threaded server, all threads, congestion, CPU is a global variable. And suddenly all threads say, oh, congestion, slow down. And then everyone slow down at the same time. And then everyone recover at the same time. Because, you know, everyone got the same amount of sleep. And the problem was that I could see how we were trying to, like, DDoS our own servers to, like, calculate capacity. And then, like, I'm seeing metrics, and to my shock, I see that suddenly CPU is 30%. Like, what? Why is it so wasted? And it's cyclic. It goes to 30% and immediately again to 100% for a while before it says 30% and immediately, and I'm like, I'm wasting capacity. I could be answering a lot more queries in time. Basically, I'm just telling to the world, screw everyone. I'm not working today. I could work for some of them. So this was something that annoyed me a lot when I saw it in the merge marks. I worked on this so hard. I was so excited. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's, like, you're going to see. And then I was like, ah, okay, hold on. Let me improve this. So two rules. Never delay after a delay. Cubic says, whoa, too busy. Slow down, and then you delay. You come back a millisecond later, and don't ask again, are we still too busy? Should I delay? Just work. When you come back from a delay, do your work. When you finish the work, then ask for delay again. I was guilty of this. I was like, oh, still busy. Okay, continue sleeping. So this was eventually synchronizing everyone and taking my CPU way too low. And another rule, put some jitter. This is a classic. It's easy. And it works amazingly well. I have benchmarked this. No synchronization anymore. In my benchmarks, again, 7.5% randomization. So if Cubic says sleep for 100 milliseconds, then one thread is going to sleep for 93, another one for 107. And randomly, I have, as I say, millions of threads. So the distribution gets very good. And another thing was, a third rule, is how am I calculating the utilization? This is an important one. That was one that I actually had in my studies and completely forgot. I was not good at statistics. Only when I grew up, I realized how important it was. But in high school, I didn't like it. If my thread calculates utilization at the moment when it needs to decide congested or not, it's bad sampling. I may ask that question at that precise nanosecond when CPU got just a little bit free or just a little bit more busy. And if, you know, all your programs, TOP or PERF and so on, all of them are doing sampling. They are just like every nanosecond making a question and then smoothing the graph. And that's something that I was not doing. I was just asking the question on the spot. What I should have been doing is smoothening the graph. So I have a different thread that just another Erlang processes, I have so many, that is calculating the times, like on a timeout, is calculating the utilization and running an exponential moving average. That is, the latest value is 30%, everyone else is 70%. So every time I calculate a new value, I remember what was the last one, and smoothening out. This 30% is another parameter. Some people use 25, some people use 40. In my case, I run a lot of trials. 30 did the job very well. Just one line of code. Important theorem, because I like them very much. Nyquist-Shannon says that you have to sample twice as often as the thing you're measuring. a funny thing. You remember when you watch a movie and a wheel is moving, and there is a moment when you have the impression that the wheel is moving backwards, when the wheel moves very fast. That is because the wheel is moving faster than the frame rate of the camera. Like, ideally, if the camera wants to capture sampling, it needs to move twice as fast as the wheel. That's why that effect happens. So at the end, to recap, it works more or less like this. Schedule utilization gets smoothened. It's feedback for both Codel and Cubic, which create feedback that I put back in the scheduler utilization. Results, the node never dies. Most important thing. Under any load, under any attack. We actually got DDoS attack last Thursday. I was so excited about it. Thank you. I was finishing work, like we're preparing some dinner, and suddenly I'm like, wait, million notifications, what's going on? And everybody's like, DDoS attack. And it's like, yes, just before FOSDEM, awesome. So nothing happened, didn't die. What happens, like before I did all this work on my hardware, this was the queries per second that I could return, and then some improvement under normal load. But once you pass overload massively, it used to die. This means downtime. This means somebody waking up in the middle of the night. That's not me anymore. This means like customer trust, like queries are not resolving. This is like the worst case scenario. This is nasty. This also downtime means 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. This means like degraded service. But some people still get requests. And nobody needs to run from the toilet because, oh my god, I have requests. I need to fix this. It's fine. You can go in 3 minutes. It's fine. This also means it's self-healing. Probably by the time you arrive to the computer from the alarm, everything was, like, which is what happened on Thursday. I arrived to the computer. Everybody's like, what's happening? It's like, nothing anymore. Cool. To recap, Cubic for rate limiting, Codel for the queue management. To be honest, Codel was my favorite discovery, and implementing this was a lot of fun. Signal smoothing with exponential moving average, and remember to sample frequent enough. And Jitter, so simple. We all know this. Try it yourself. It's open source. These are the two pull requests that implemented most of these important changes. Read the code, learn something from it. People say that Erlang syntax is ugly. I don't mind, but it's self-readable and it's functional. And that's it for me. Thank you very much.
Nelson, we have a couple of minutes. Any questions?
Yes.
Several.
Did you account for TCP or only for UDP?
Very, very, very good question. Thank you.
Repeat question.
Yes, of course. The question is if I account for TCP or only for UDP. 99% of this work is in UDP because it's the workload we get. 99% of the traffic is on UDP. In TCP, yes, also, but it's not that smart. It's for the future because, you know, like UDP was urgent. It's on my backlog. It's probably on Monday I'm going to start doing similar things for TCP.
We actually saw DDoS attacks, and the alert was for TCP port exhaustion encryption on the server. The CPU load was, it was bored, but
yeah.
No more connections could be open.
I'm sure that an evil actor is going to watch this video and say, oh, that's how I'm going to attack Nelson now. On Monday I will fix it. Another question, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Do you think that queuing algorithm and all that stuff could be implemented for other types of network, like routing or packet filtering?
Yes. Absolutely. So question is if this kind of queuing mechanisms can be implemented for other kinds of services like routing. Yes, totally. Actually, they already are. The Linux kernel uses on the TCP stack Codel the same way as the default. And there is, as I said at the beginning, there is an alternative for TCP-only traffic. Then there is a slightly better flag that you can just enable on your production server. But the default is Codel already. It's actually a fair queue Codel, which is what I already do in Erlang because I have millions of processes, but in Linux, it just opens a bunch of queues and like puts the traffic fairly between the queues, and each queue is running its own copy of Codel. Just the same thing I'm doing, just with millions of threads. And with Linux, most routers should be doing the same. OpenVRT does it. It's also a default. There was a big movement in the by the Internet Working Group something like 6 or 7 years ago to push all router manufacturers to make this a default, because the default used to be big buffers, tail drop, which I explained at the beginning is bad, for, especially for really big capacity. So yes, it should even fit your HTTP web server. Many of these lessons are not DNS specific. If you are serving requests over HTTP, they are also, like, you also don't have infinite resources. And maybe the timeout is not a few milliseconds. Maybe there are requests that are fine to be served 10 minutes later, but you still don't want to queue all of them, because you're going to get DDoS. So you need to manage the queue. Do we still have time for one more question? Or
next speaker also needs
all right,
to set up
perfect.
So thank you.
Thank you very much.